This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Readers Entertainment Radio, and my dog has been completely silent until I come on the radio, of course, because now there's a squirrel outside. Hold on one second. Yes, there it is. Go, go. Okay. It is Thursday in November 14th, and if you didn't know this, Bands of America is having a massive competition this weekend in Indianapolis as well as Utah. So I really appreciate all the hard work all those kids are doing, and congratulations for getting there, and good luck, everyone. Have an amazing, amazing week. But for us, we are going to have an amazing time here because we're going to talk to one of my favorite people in the world, author Rich Amui. And I found him years ago when I was just kind of wandering through my Kindle and my, Amazon. But he writes fabulous romantic comedies. And then I've had the pleasure of getting to talk to him in person several times at some conferences. So today we're going to talk to the author of all sorts of fun books. Like It's Not You, It's Not PMS, It's You, Dying to Meet You, There's Something About a Cowboy, Madam Love Actually, and all sorts of other fun rom-com that you will want to download to your Kindle immediately. So welcome to the show, Rich Amui. How are you, my dear?
Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good. The dog's outside now. It's 40 degrees and raining, and she's just insistent that the weather has changed from the last 10 minutes. Now that it's sunny and your kind of weather, It is not. she's a dog, I don't know if you ever read that book Door into Summer, by Richard Heinlein, but there's a guy in it who's got a cat named Pete, and the cat, there's eight doors in the house, and the cat goes to every single door when it's bad weather, waiting for the door in the summer. So, yeah, so that's what she does all day.
Dogs will be dogs.
They will. And characters are fun to write like that because because you have a lot of really fun characters in your books. And so you started writing not too terribly long ago because you had done some other cool, fun stuff before you became a full-time writer.
Yeah, I did have a fun career on the radio as a radio personality DJ that was 33 years. And yeah, that was definitely a lot of fun. And I love music. So, I think that's probably one of the best careers you can choose if you love music.
Oh, for sure. And you've done all sorts of events. I mean, you've also done DJing for weddings and I don't want to say weddings and funerals because I don't think people have a DJ for a funeral, but although it would make a very interesting story, so there you are.
I've done three funerals, I think. When I did them, they called them celebrations of life, and so what I would do is I would go and play the favorite music, all the favorite songs of the person that passed away, and then they would talk about positive memories, and there was food and stuff like that. So it was more of a positive take on somebody passing away.
Was it when the ones that you did, was it something that the person who had died, had they been a part of that decision making? Like, say they were in hospice or they knew something was coming, or was it something the families knew what music they wanted, or was it something the families had put together? I mean, what kind of mix of different things did you see?
I think on one of them, if I recall correctly, the person who passed away said, get rid of your sad faces. My time is coming and I want you to celebrate all the fun memories that we had together. So they did exactly what she requested and put together collages of fun pictures and all of her favorite songs. She was a Beach Boys fan. So I played a lot of Beach Boys music and they talked about a lot of the positive things in her life. And the other one I did, they just decided to go that route instead of going the other way mm-hmm. of doing a service in a church or at the cemetery. They just decided to make it a celebration of life, of the person's life, and all they yeah. accomplished and all the hearts that person touched.
Wow. I can imagine initially, if no one had ever been to something like that, it would be a little, people would approach it kind of cautiously. It's like, do we, have fun? Do we dance? I would think by the end of the event, people were understood that it truly was a celebration of life that the person had hoped it would be.
Yeah. I mean, that's what the most people wish for is that, when they leave this earth, they want people to continue being happy and going on with their lives. And it is a little bit different here than, my wife, Sylvie, who is from Spain over mm-hmm. there, they take care of the deed of, saying goodbye to the person within 24 hours. It's planned the very next day after a person dies. And what's complicated with that is it doesn't matter if there are family members who are on vacation out of the country, most of them will miss their own parents or family members' funeral because it's always mm-hmm. done almost always the very next day.
Wow. Wow. Is that just culturally, or is it religiously,
yeah,
or is
it's cultural. I don't know if it is religious in nature as well, but we were on vacation in Spain going to see some site, and then one of my father-in-law's best friends passed away, and we had to cut the trip short and head back immediately so we could be there mm-hmm. the very next day for that. Now, I think things are changing over there now, and it's not always the case, but I know we just happened to talk about this recently, and but they're doing things a little bit different now, like even Halloween is catching on over there now.
Oh, wow. And I'm sure you probably DJed a few Halloween parties or events as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And that's one thing I've thought about doing is writing a Halloween romantic comedy at some point. Mm-hmm. But there, I have so many ideas. I think I have a Word document with things that I want to write, and I think I have it up to – well, I can. It's right here on my desktop. I can tell you, I have 46 ideas for romantic comedies that are
right
on here, on this list, and so yeah, lots of things to write. I need to write faster.
Yeah, I think I was talking to my daughter the other day, and she said, "Boy, if I had a magic wand, I would help you get all of your work done, like all of your ideas." And I just thought, it's just endless, because we all do it. We find, oh, that would be a good story, and that would be a good story. It's just like trying to read everything in the bookstore in one day. You just can't.
Yeah, one of my author friends just came up with a pretty good idea for me. Day before yesterday, I was talking about one of the hardest things for me is to plot a book, to do the outlining, mm-hmm. to kind of dig in deep and I need it when I'm writing. When I wrote some short stories, it was easy for me to pants it and without an outline, and I was okay. But when I'm writing 70 or 80,000 words, I definitely need an outline or I'll go crazy. And one of my author friends
sure.
came up with an idea a couple of days ago, because I really, really suck at writing outlines. It takes me forever, and it's just a waste of time for me. I wish I could write them faster. So she came up with the idea of like getting my wife to write the outline for me, and then I can just sit down and write. And I thought,
oh, wow.
Hey, or I can even find somebody. I give them the idea of my story and have them write the outline for me, and then I just sit down and write. I said, hey, this is not a bad idea at all.
Yeah. Or even you could dictate to yourself an outline idea, and then maybe somebody could like throw down the main points of it or just write it out. That's a possibility.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the thing that has been the fastest for me is when I get to brainstorm with other authors, which doesn't happen too often. In fact, I just saw on Facebook today, an author friend was taking off for 3 days to go, and she does a plotting weekend with other authors, and what they do is they plot their next two or three books together over the weekend. They help one author, and then you know, if there are three authors, by the time the weekend is over, they have their next three books plotted for all three authors. And I love this idea, but I just don't I have the time, but I don't have author friends who have the time and energy to do something like that. But I would love to do that.
Yeah, I've talked to several friends of mine as well that they go off for, you know, a long weekend, and they all leave with the next, I mean, their entire next year's slate is full. So they already know what they're going to write their next three or four books, or even a series. They plotted it out. So, yeah, it's sounds fantastic. But you're right, because brainstorming with others, I think we tend to not stay in the bubble as much when we're brainstorming with others, that we don't have to necessarily explain why we're writing what we're writing. It helps to know that, okay, we all know this is fiction, so nobody needs to worry about my search history. and I can just throw it all out there. And it's fun because some of your friends will come up with some really weird stuff too, and you're like, oh wow, I didn't even think about that, you know, and take it in fun directions.
Oh, yeah, so, definitely. Yeah, you're right. When you're banging the ideas back and forth between two or three or four people, it's amazing what they can come up with to help you. And I love brainstorming with other authors. I wish I could do it more.
Well, I know that's like the conferences that we all tend to go to, you know, whether they're the large ones or the small ones. I think that's one of the best reasons to go. 'Cause I know when I first started, it's like, well, why would you go to a writer's conference? No, you can buy the book on plotting or you know, deep POV and all that. But I think this is the stuff that you can't really, you can't get out of a book to brainstorm with others and be around like minds. It makes a difference.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I've read three or four or five or six of those plotting and outlining books, and, you know, I read them, and, you know, they say, you know, 10, 15 simple steps to plotting your next book. And, you know, I've read so many of those things, and it, you know, really, they don't help me that much. I need to bounce ideas back and forth, and I just come up with them. So I'm not that analytical, like in some of the books where they tell you to analyze this and then come up with this. My brain doesn't work that way.
But in your latest book, and the title is funny as well as the cover is great. It's not PMS, it's you. Tell me about this story.
I just wanted to write a story about a confident woman who doesn't take any crap from men. And when she walks into the room, she's got her head up and she just, you know, she's not scared of anything at all. And I just wanted to put some men in their place as well. And I just thought it would be a lot of fun to take a powerful woman and just let her go and do what she's, you know, what she's good at, and not let anything stand in her way. And then throw a little curveball at her that, you know, a near-death experience. And now she's starting to think, yeah, she's a high-powered career woman who's about to be managing partner. But by putting her career number one over everything, she doesn't have love. She hasn't had love. And now she's thinking, after the near-death experience, that she's smart enough to have both. And then she goes on a mission. Mm-hmm. She puts together a business plan to meet the perfect man.
And, you know, it's interesting that it's you weave it to where it's not just she just has an epiphany one day walking down the street. I mean, something really happens to her to make her see, is this the direction I want everything to go? And then it is, but I want to add this other layer versus instead of, which we've seen a lot of shows
it's do not, this. Yeah, she does not have any intention of giving up her high-powered career at all. She just thinks, you know, I don't want to live and die alone. And I'm smart enough. I have an MBA from UCLA. I've gotten this far in my career. I'm smart enough to figure out how to make that happen. And so this is her journey of looking for the man and making a list of the perfect man, which the part of the fun for me is I get to write all of these horrible dates that she goes on. Because she thinks she knows, you know, the man that's perfect for her, but she's all wrong about that. She's smart in her career, but the man she thinks she needs is, you know, is totally opposite of what she has on paper. And that's part of the fun from my point of view is writing. I like to torture my characters a little or a lot. And so I give her a good dose of that before she has her happy ending.
Well, I love that you always have, even in all of your books, you always have a really nice balance of power between the hero and heroine. It's not, one's waiting to be rescued or, an apathetic character. I mean, they're both invested in their lives for sure. And then they're also invested in each other by the end of your stories. Was that something you had always wanted to write, or was that something you thought, well, I'll just try it? Or what was the process of you getting to this point with your book or books?
I think my characters, I've always had my characters that they're, you know, deep down, they're good, decent people. And just along the way, they've made some poor decisions here or there. And they're not perfect, and sometimes they lose focus, and those things need to be corrected at some point. And at some point they come to the realization that, you know, this is not for me. I need to do this or I need to do that. And the one thing that I don't that I haven't done is I don't have characters who have been walked over all over. I don't like I don't like weak characters. I don't mind that they have imperfections, but you know, I don't like the woe is me character. I've got nothing. Oh, nothing goes my way. I've never been into that type of a character. I want them to have positive things in their life, but I also want to give them the imperfections and things that they can change and for the better. And along the way, typically what happens is the person they meet is the one that helps them make a change or makes them realize that, hey, I've been doing this all wrong and I need to fix that.
Right. And it may have been a flaw that they were well aware of before. They're just not it's like, why change now type thing. And then you find something. I mean, we all do this. You know, okay, well, fine, I'll put the toothpaste cap back on and I'll, you know, I won't. There's just all these little things that we do when we get with the person we want to be with. But it doesn't change who we are, innately who we are. So I like that you let them be who they are.
Yeah, like for instance, in It's Not PMS, It's You, Ruth knows exactly who she is, and she has purposely maneuvered her life in a way to put her career number one. It's not that she's hated men or that she's had horrible experiences with men. It's just she put them in second behind her career, and she wanted to, you know, to go to the top in her career. And so she never really had issues with men per se, like horrible experiences to scar her. So she doesn't want to date, or she doesn't think you know, that she'll ever fall in love. Mm-hmm. She just had her career was her priority. And one of the things for her was she didn't want to get distracted, and feelings equal distraction. So for her,
sure.
You know, she knew that if she got involved with somebody, that she would head down the wrong path. It would take her focus mm-hmm. off of her career, and then she wouldn't be able to achieve her career goals. But in the end, mm-hmm. she figured out a way to, you know, she after the near-death experience, she said, I'm smart enough to figure this out and have both.
Right, right. So you've got, it's not PMS, it's you, but you've got all these other delightful stories as well. I mean, there's something about a cowboy. You've got Board of the Rings, which is fabulous. And, you know, you have a holiday title, Kiss Me in the Snow. And mm-hmm. you talked about doing potentially a Halloween one. But do you have a Valentine's themed one? Because we've got holiday, you know, Christmas coming up, and then we're going to be shooting right into Valentine's.
I've tinkered with the idea of having a Valentine's Day romantic comedy, and it's mm-hmm. on my list. I do have a potential
40
story.
Yes.
Yeah, there's one in there that's a Valentine's. The one I'm leaning towards right now. And I've never done it, and it will be a little more work for me because it's a little more complicated, is I want to do a modern day time travel romantic comedy. And
okay.
I've never done one, but it's been on my radar for a while. You know, I'm a fan of the movie Groundhog Day, and
mm-hmm.
There was even a movie, I don't know if that was a couple of years ago now. I'm not good with time. It could have been 5 years ago, but it's actually called About Time with Rachel McAdams. And
mm-hmm.
it was a great modern day time travel romantic comedy that I enjoyed a lot. So I'm kind of leaning in that direction right now for my next one, which I have to figure out here pretty soon because,
mm-hmm.
I don't like to have too much time in between the books.
Right. And are you writing something right now? Are you deciding what to write right now?
I'm working on something slowly, and it's not mm-hmm. a romantic comedy. It's actually it's more women's fiction. It's drama, and it's the story of my mom's life.
That's right. We've talked about this a few times. And your mom sounds like
a
tremendously strong woman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's been through so much drama that I have a feeling when I'm done with that book, it's going to probably make it into a Lifetime movie or something because there's some pretty serious stuff in there that goes on in her life. I'm still, you know, amazed how she got through what she had to go through and where she is today. So that's something I'm working on. That's a little more complicated because of all of the things that happened in her life, all the information I have, and trying to weave that into a creative fiction story
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, based on a true experience. It's complicated. So I'm not working
sure.
on it full time. And I am, just like when I was writing It's Not PMS, It's You, I was working on the other book at the same time, but putting more focus on the romantic comedy than the other book.
So how do you balance that? Because you've got two very different stories that you're telling. And so when you have two projects going on at the same time, how do you switch brains for that?
That's actually not that difficult since they are so different. If I was writing two romantic
mm-hmm.
comedies at the same time, that's where I think my brain would get into trouble just because of the characters. And since I'm writing humor and quirky characters, I think that's where I would get into a lot of trouble if I tried to write two romantic comedies at the same time. Since these are so different, in my mom's story, there is no humor at all. It's complete drama. You know, there are some positive things that will happen in the story. Where she ends up in the end is, you know, she had to go through a lot of stuff, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And so I do have that, but they're so completely different that it hasn't been that difficult to separate them. I've even been toying with the idea of writing a mystery. And if I do, I'm not sure if I would write it at the same time as a romantic comedy, but they are completely different. So I don't think that'll be too much of an issue.
So you've got your mom's story. You're working on another romantic. You're deciding on which next romantic comedy to write. And you are, you know, you write full time. I mean, what are some other things that you do to get inspiration when you're out and about? I mean, are you always looking, or is it just one of those things where you say, oh, you know what, I could put that in there? I mean, do you just tuck it away? How do you collect your information for your stories?
I mean, like this list that I have of my stories that I want to write in the future, and sometimes I'll remove something there after a while. It popped into my head. Let's say I was at the beach and I thought of doing, for instance, I had an idea when I was on the beach of doing a Christmas story, but the heroine and the hero, they met in Hawaii in Christmas and it was 80 degrees. Mm-hmm. And I had that idea for a while, but then I thought to myself, you know what? Most people who want to read Christmas stories want to read about the snow and the Christmas trees and the presents and the different things. So Hawaii, it's not going to feel like a Christmas story really. If I set it in Hawaii in December. So, like, for instance, I had that idea for a while, and then I removed it from my list because I thought, no, when people want to read Christmas stories, they want to read about Christmas. And not always, but most of the time, there should be some snow there somewhere.
Right. Unless you're in, you know, the Southern Hemisphere, then it's a very different Christmas.
I don't see those too often on the Christmas list. I don't see Southern Hemisphere Christmas stories on the
right. That's fair. I remember a friend of mine years ago was in Sydney for a year and a half, and she said Christmas was very weird for her because she was actually from Denver, and so she was there and it was their summer, so she said everybody got pool supplies for Christmas and, you know, doing barbecues on the beach and everything. So she said it was very different. Yeah, you know, but I mean, it was great. It was just different.
I would love that. I would love to go to Australia for Christmas or some place in the Southern Hemisphere. I just don't think it would make the greatest story for a Christmas story. That, you know, an author is trying to sell this story in November or December. I don't know. I mean, obviously, I'm not an expert on marketing that kind of thing. But I'll give you an example. Last year, since we live in San Diego, last year on Christmas Day, we were on the beach here in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And I was in my shorts and my, you know, short sleeve shirt and my sandals. And it was, I think it was that last year or the year before? I can't remember. But it was almost 80 degrees and we were on the beach and we loved it. We had our Santa stockings on our heads and we were taking selfies on Christmas Day on the beach and absolutely loved it. I just don't know if that will make the greatest romantic comedy or story, but we enjoyed it.
I mean, beaches are always a great place for rom-coms. And so, I mean, and speaking of that, oh, hold on, the dog has to go back outside now. Okay, there she goes. It was definitely a squirrel this time. But with writing rom-coms, you always have liked romantic comedies growing up and, you know, into your adult life.
Yeah.
Was that your movie of choice? So tell
It still is. And even go ahead.
If you can, tell me your top five favorites.
My top five favorite rom-coms?
Rom-com movies, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Yeah, this is not good. How can you do this to me? There are way too many. Okay, I'll give you some of my favorites, and I'm not going to put them in any particular order, but I'll give you some of my favorites. More recently, in the last 5 or 6 years, I would say The Proposal with Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock.
Okay.
Is I think I've seen we've seen it probably 5 times in the last 5 years, I'm guessing. Notting Hill is always near the top of my list.
Okay.
You've Got Mail. While You Were Sleeping, another Sandra Bullock movie.
Right.
Love that movie. Serendipity, John Cusack. Love that movie. Even The American President. I wouldn't. It's kind of on the border. They call it a romantic comedy. There's humor in it, but it's not like really strong humor. But that was such a great movie. And to going back further, When Harry Met Sally, of course. Runaway Bride. Most of the Julia Roberts movies of the past, I was a big fan of those. Love Actually.
Yeah.
Meet the Parents was such a great movie. So funny.
You know, one of the movies that surprised me that I've talked to several people about it, and they're like, that's not a romantic comedy. I'm like, but it is a romantic comedy, is Red.
Red. Is that the Morgan Freeman one?
That's Morgan Freeman, Bruce Willis, Mary Louise Parker, Helen Mirren. Who was the other gentleman? He played in X-Men. He was Stryker, like the older gentleman, Stryker. And, who else? Anyway, it's Bruce Willis's character is completely in love with Mary Louise Parker. And he's a retired special ops. And he keeps calling because she's in the help center for his checks, because since he worked for the government, and he's like, my check didn't come. And we see him burning his check. She's like, oh, again, you know. And so they've established this relationship back and forth over the phone. And then someone puts a hit out on him. So he realizes they've been monitoring his phone calls. So he goes to get her to protect her. And the whole time, that's what he's doing. And then you bring in these characters like Morgan Freeman and John Malkovich, and Carl Urban plays the CIA operative trying to locate him. He's not the one who's putting the hit out on him. But the whole point is him keeping her safe. And she's just one of those people that's super bored. Yeah. And it was just absolutely adorable.
I don't know if I ever saw that one.
Yeah, and it's funny. It is so funny. There's a point where, you know, she's meeting all his friends, all of whom have been hired killers and, you know, done all this crazy stuff. And they finally meet Helen Mirren, and she says, you know, are you here to kill me? He's like, no, and because he's been wounded. And so he goes to her for help. And Mary Louise Parker's is like, what do you do? She's like, Helen Mirren says, I kill people, dear. And she's like, oh, okay. It's like, by now it's just what it is, you know, that's the life. But she's been reading these fantastical, crazy romance novels. And so she's just like, my life is incredibly boring, and I'm just reading these stupid books for any sort of excitement in my life. And then here he comes. So it's just so much fun. Such a fun movie. So definitely, if you haven't watched it, but it's a romantic comedy.
I'll have to
comedy.
Check it out. I don't think I ever saw it. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's pretty cute. And then, of course, your classics, Romancing the Stone, is another great one. And there's so many different movies that just every time they're on, I'm like, oh God, now I can't go to sleep. So, Sleepless in Seattle, that was another one. That was wonderful.
Yeah, we've definitely seen that one. You know, it's interesting about that film because I've enjoyed that
that movie many times. And I always think about it when it's labeled as a romantic comedy. I always think, you know, how much humor was really in that movie?
I think there were some really good.
I don't think there was.
The message was strong.
There were a couple of cute scenes. What's that?
I think you're right. It's probably more of a dramedy, in the sense of they're dealing with some heavy topics. You know, him being a widower and missing his wife, and trying to reestablish a life with his son. But yeah, I think that it's more of a. I don't know if it'd be romantic comedy versus more of a. It tugs at your heart more, because you know they don't meet till the end. Sorry, anybody who hasn't seen it, because they don't. But I mean, it's worth watching the journey.
You spoiler, you. I mean, it's only been around for how many years has that movie been out?
20, almost 20 years. More than at least 20 years, because it was in the early 90s, right?
I don't remember. But I do think about that often. That you know, I think it's listed on a lot of romantic comedy lists, and I've even done a couple of polls online when I was doing a contest, or I'd say name your favorite romantic comedy, and almost always Sleepless in Seattle would come up for somebody, and it always pops in my mind. Is it really a romantic comedy? I'm not saying it's a I love the movie. But I don't know if it's really a romantic comedy, though. Yeah, I think it's more of a dramedy. I think you're right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like Under the Tuscan Sun, I love that movie, but it's more of a women's fiction type story, because she does, you know, she does end up with a happily ever after, but it's just not the one we were all expecting for her.
Yeah.
You know, there's and it's wonderful. You know, Chocolat for sure is, but, you know, you have, I mean, all sorts of them that just are just absolutely delightful and fun. You know, 10 Things I Hate About You, that's a classic. Kiss Me, Kate, or Taming of the Shrew.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that one. I thought it was a wonderful take on Taming of the Shrew. And every time I see that story, I think of my daughter, who I had gotten these kids' versions of Shakespeare books, and she's like, well, I'm gonna read Romeo and Juliet because everyone's talking about it. And she was about fourth grade, and I said, okay. And so she came to me about halfway through it and handed it back, and she said, these kids are stupid, I don't want to read this. And I said, okay, that's fair. And she said, can I have a different one? And so I gave her Taming of the Shrew, and I said, these are modern day adaptations of this story. She liked it much better. Obviously a lot less people died in Taming of the Shrew. But they were pretty rotten to each other, but you know, the time period was such a, you know, it's kind of how it went, I guess. So you are working on your new books, and then, but what are you reading? What do you read for inspiration? What's on your to be read file?
Let me see. What I'm reading right now is, okay, let me see if I can remember the title correctly. It's My Big Fat Fake Wedding by Lauren Landish.
Mm-hmm.
And that right now, if you look on Amazon, it's one of the top 20 books in the world right now. It's actually at number 20. I mean, I typically read what I write because I like, I love romantic comedy so much. I'm always looking for a romance with humor. Not always do I find something. Sometimes I'll skip over into something else, but for the most part, I'm always looking for something like that.
And it's interesting that you do, because a lot of times people say they don't read what they write. So just because it's a different thought process, but you read it as for inspiration as well as just escapism.
Yeah. I mean, I love romance with humor so much that I crave it. I mean, even on, you know, each week we look at the
the movie listings on Hallmark and on Netflix and on Amazon Prime, and I'm just hoping a new romantic comedy is coming out. I see, like, you know, next week there's a new one on Netflix, The Night Before Christmas, but night with a,
right,
with a K. It's a time travel, you know, Christmas movie. And so that, you know, I have that on my calendar that, hey, next week we're going to watch that. But so I'm always looking,
right,
for fun, uplifting, more on the positive side stories, romance with some humor. That's my thing. And I have an author friend who writes cozy mysteries, and some people have told me that I should write them because they're a lot of fun and they have a lot of humor, and she does very well with them. And I asked her if she could recommend some of her favorite cozy mysteries that I could check out.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Oh God, I don't read them." I won't even go close. I won't ever read a book in my genre, because it's too, she says she gets too much in her head and it's too much of a distraction. And then she starts comparing her books to other books in the same genre. So she has never read, she writes cozy mysteries full time, but have never read a cozy mystery before. She does really well.
Oh, wow.
But it's funny.
Wow. Huh. Well, I mean, I guess, everybody's got their own method to their madness. So, yeah, I mean, I could see people doing that. But if you do need a list of cozy mysteries, I can send you a few. And then whoever's listening, throw down your cozy mysteries, because Rich is looking for cozy mysteries to do some research on, to see if we can, you know, see if he wants to venture into that genre there. So... So will you
I've had a few authors mention that I should try getting into that. They said I would be good at it, but I don't know too much about it. I know that usually in the first chapter there's a body somewhere, and then the amateur sleuth has to solve the crime. I'll have to read a few and check it out.
There's some delightful ones I actually had on a TV book segment a couple of months ago. It was October's. They talked about a whole list of them, and they were themed. So, like, you had blueberry cobbler mystery, and then you had one that was like cafe mocha. And I mean, it's just really fun to see the different themes that people throw in there. And it just kind of tie it all together. So one was set in a bookstore, and one was set in a coffee shop and a bakery. And you had just all these really fun ones. Source Books has a ton of them as well, with different authors. So there's a lot to read. So I have no doubt that you will find plenty of material to do your research with.
Cool.
Yay. Well, I wanted to thank you so, so much for coming and seeing us today and talking to us about your stuff. And I cannot wait until your next release. It will be a lot of fun. Do you think it'll be probably by summer for next year?
It'll be before that. I'm hoping I'll have another release by March or April. We'll see.
Okay, wonderful. Well, if you're looking for Rich, he is online at Rich, richamooi.com. He is also on Facebook and Twitter, and you can find him there and ask him about his books and ask him about what's coming up, and he's got a newsletter and all sorts of really cool, fun stuff, as well as all of that is in the links. The links are in the write-up of the show today. So thank you again, Rich, for coming and talking to us.
Thanks, Patricia. Always a pleasure talking with you.
Absolutely. We'll see you soon. Everybody, keep on reading.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.